thought it would be a good idea to have someone in and talk about boat safety, make sure everybody's prepped to be out on the water and be safe. Joining us from the Coast Guard Auxiliary is Anthony Carvelis. Good morning.
Good morning, Maria.
Thank you so much for being here. And first off, let's talk a bit about the Coast Guard Auxiliary. What is that organization? What does it do?
The Coast Guard Auxiliary is a group of local volunteers who live and work in Ketchikan, and we donate our time to go out and provide services to the community. Many of those services are free to the public, and we have about 8 active members in the auxiliary now here in Ketchikan.
And I know you've been doing safe boating checks.
Yes, we go out and free. We come to you. We provide safe boating checks or vessel safety checks. We have 6 inspectors that go out. We will come to you where you have your boat parked, if it's in a marina or sitting on a trailer at your home. We'll come out and make sure your boat's safe. Maybe help you, help you avoid the situation of getting a citation from the enforcement side of the Coast Guard. So.
You've been at, not necessarily you personally, but perhaps, at the various harbors. I know we've announced those that Coast Guard Auxiliary will be at particular places certain days. So is it something waiting for things like that, or can people contact the auxiliary to schedule something?
You can contact the auxiliary directly. There's a website. If you just go into Google, type in U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary. You can find a way to request a vessel safety check. There are numbers in local media around here. I think the local paper has numbers in there. You can go to different businesses around town. Knutson Cove Marina, we have information stands with pamphlets in there, and it gives you the contact information to get a safety check. There's one at Knutson Cove Marina, Walmart, in the sporting goods section, at the Harbor Master's office, at Tongass Marine, and at Bayco across from Tatsuta's.
What does a safety check involve?
So a safety check involves just going through all of the required safety equipment. There's state-required safety equipment and federal-required safety equipment. And it's basically going through, making sure your navigation lights work, making sure you have the right life jackets on board and the right amount. There's throwable devices in case somebody falls in the water and you need to throw them something to bring them back on board. Sound-producing devices could be as simple as a whistle, or some boats might need a bell if they're over a certain length. Visual distress signals, your flares, fire extinguishers. A lot of these requirements depend on the length of the boat. So when the examiner goes down there, he'll be able to help you figure out what you need. You'll get a report basically letting you know if you need to go out and get something to be compliant. And there'll be contact information in case you have questions and you need to get back with the examiner afterwards. But it's pretty friendly interaction. There's no tickets or anything like that. It's just a check to make sure that you're safe to get on the water. And if you have any questions, if you're new to boating, it's a good opportunity to ask those questions.
And you mentioned that people can get citations. So is that if you're out on the water and you get pulled over, so to speak?
That's correct, Maria. So the auxiliary is not an enforcement agency. The regular Coast Guard is. And so we help prevent you from getting cited. So an auxiliarist will never hand you a ticket and cause you to have to expend your money to get something fixed. It's more of a preventative thing. We promote boating safety through preventative measures. So we get out there, we try to get you squared away, and it's a really good thing for everybody to go through. Even if you're more seasoned and you've been doing it for a while, sometimes you forget stuff, and you get out there in the water, and the next thing the Coast Guard's coming up and just doing a check. They can just pull up and just make sure you have all your stuff. The good thing about getting a vessel safety check from the auxiliary is that after the check and after you pass the requirements, we actually give you a sticker, and you display that on your boat. Now, the sticker doesn't guarantee that you won't be boarded by the regular Coast Guard, but it is something that they do look at to determine who they will pull over, but it does not guarantee. You know, if there's two boats out in the water and one has a sticker and one doesn't, the Coast Guard's probably going to go to the boat that doesn't have the sticker. But
a little extra insurance there. And is it something you need to do or should do annually, or how often should you have these checks?
It's annually. The sticker is good for one calendar year, so they all expire on December 31st. And so it's good for a calendar year. Yeah.
And it has to say, like, the year on it?
Yeah, it has the year on it, and usually the colors alternate from year to year. So somebody going up and looking at it could tell.
How responsive are people to these checks? I know I hear them announced often. Both recreational, I guess, and commercial options are out there. With respect to recreational, are people really, you know, welcoming and wanting these, or is it trying to kind of get people along? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think a lot, you know, most cases people want to get the inspection done because they want to be safe. And I think that's a good way to approach it. You know, we're out there to try to help. And if there's assistance, anything we can provide, you know, some boats, you know, you need things like trash placards if they're over a certain size and pollution placards. And a lot of the examiners carry those around. So you don't have to go out and get one. We'll just give you one, you know, so you can pass the inspection. But most people are very accommodating. All of us have day jobs, and so we try to get to these inspections after our normal work. And people are pretty understanding and know that, you know, it might take a day or we can get there later in the day. But we're pretty responsive, and it's something that I personally enjoy doing. I like going out and meeting people and getting to talk to people about their boat and maybe putting somebody at ease who's a little nervous about, you know, who's new to boating and maybe a little bit nervous about getting out there. So.
And you, am I correct that you work on the recreational inspection end? There's a commercial end as well?
I work on the recreational end, and then me and one other examiner do uninspected passenger vessels, which are the commercial charter boats that take tourists out to go fishing. And we do those inspections as well. That inspection is a little more involved than a recreational boat. But if anybody's out there, any type of commercial skipper out there who wants to get an inspection done on their charter boat, you can contact the auxiliary and we'll get somebody out there to get you squared away. I know the cruise lines, they look for those certifications when they come in and they sell charters to people. So it's A lot of them get them. Those are good for 2 years. So, you know, I just got done doing some inspections down at Baranoff fish excursions a couple weeks ago. They only had, I think they had 4 boats this year, but next year they're going to have 18. So
that's quite a difference.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Yeah, we do a lot of different stuff. We hold boater safety classes, too. And our next boater safety classes are coming up in August. And one of our auxiliarists, Renee Schofield, is the guru on training, and she's going to be scheduling that for sometime in August. If people are interested, they can contact Tonga Substance Screening and check out when we're going to have our next class. So.
Okay, and a variety of classes are offered through the auxiliary?
Right now, we're just offering we're just getting started with classes, and boater safety is obviously the most popular one, and we're just doing those now. But we intend to expand upon more classes as we get more instructors trained.
Okay, and I guess focusing on recreational boating inspections, what are the things you see maybe that people don't always have that they need or something that gets overlooked that maybe you can mention to people?
One thing that I notice is there's a couple things that are easy to forget about. One is your registration. You got to have a current registration. And so make sure you get that one done. Another thing is the flares, the visual distress signals. They expire. And those are easy to forget. You get them sitting in your boat, and you know there is an expiration date on them. I think they last about 4 or 5 years, and they do expire, and it's one of those easy things to forget. Another thing would be the throwable device. If you're in a vessel that's over 16 feet, powered by machinery, you need to have that seat cushion that everybody has a Coast Guard approval number on the back. You got to have one of those. So those are the important things that I see that some people, you know, just forget about.
Okay, and are there maybe some tips, some thoughts just in general about boating safety?
Yeah, you know, if you have a quick engine disconnect, you know, and you're in your boat by yourself, you want to make sure you have that hook to your body. If you fall over the side and your boat's taken off, that's not going to be an enjoyable day. So make sure you do that. Make sure you wear your life jacket. It's so many accidents in Alaska would have been avoided, you know, deaths if somebody just simply wore their life jacket. What's important is if you have a child on your boat and they're under the age of 13, they're required to wear a life jacket at all times when they're on the exterior decks. When they're in the cabin, if you have a bigger boat and you have a cabin and they're inside the cabin, they don't have to wear the jacket. But if they're on the exterior decks, if they're walking down the pier, they don't want to have that life jacket on. So just that's very important, you know, for youngins.
And with respect to life jackets, as they say, if you don't wear them, they won't work.
They won't work. They have
If you fall in, you can't go get it.
You can't go get it afterwards.
Exactly.
It's very difficult. And yes, there's a lot of bad stuff that happens to people because they don't wear their life jackets. There's those CO2 activated life jackets. They're called type 5 jackets. What a lot of people may not realize is that jacket only counts if you get boarded and then they're counting your life jackets. You got to have a life jacket for every person on board. If they see, if you have a type 5 and you're not wearing it, it doesn't count. You have to be actually wearing the life jacket in order for that life jacket to count as a life jacket.
And that's the one with the CO2 cartridge?
It's got a CO2 cartridge. And they're good, you know, because people tend to wear them more because they're not in the way. They're not bulky. So, if you have one of those, you want to have that on your body.
And I was going to say, something I remember from those also is you always want to check and make sure the cartridge
And make sure the cartridge is good. There's a lot of them come with, manufacturer recommendations, and you want to read those instructions and make sure that you're maintaining your life jacket to those specifications. So, yeah, there's a way you want to check that cylinder, make sure it's not discharged, you know, but read the instructions. Every life jacket's a little bit different. So you want to read those instructions and follow them.
Okay, and I imagine also a big part of safety is paying attention to the weather, which can change so rapidly.
It can change so rapidly. And one of the things I wanted to do today was to let people know about if you have a smartphone, if you type in, if you go to your store and type into that phone USCG, which is short for U.S. Coast Guard, an application will pop up, and it's free, and it's the U.S. Coast Guard app. I have it here on my phone. I'll pull it out, Maria, if I won't.
We can't see it on the radio, but you can describe it.
But I can describe it for you. And it's a Coast Guard. It's a red, white, and blue little app. It's got a Coast Guard symbol on there. You open it up, and you can get state boating information. You can review your safety equipment. You can request a safety check with the application. That email will go out to all the vessel examiners here on Ketchikan. You can file a float plan. You can look up rules of the road. And another interesting thing here is it says NOAA buoys. You can actually, it gives you a map, and it has the buoys laid out there, and you can press on the buoy and get weather information from that buoy before you head out. So it's incredibly useful. You can report a hazard, whatever that may be, marine life or somebody's in trouble, report pollution, report suspicious activity. And there's a big red bar on the bottom. It says request emergency assistance. Now, when you press on that, it's not going to call emergency assistance. It's just going to lead you to a link to get emergency assistance. So it's a pretty good app, and I recommend that to everybody I go out and visit when I do a vessel safety check.
And that was just USCG?
USCG,
and
yes.
Go that way. Now, people are relying more and more on their cell phones for communication and stuff, but is it not true that oftentimes we're in remote areas where you would not have coverage?
That's true. It's always good to have a Marine VHF radio with you, whether that's a handheld or a fixed radio in your boat. Channel 16 is the international hailing and distress frequency. So having the radio, knowing how to use it, the auxiliaries, we have, when we go out and do safety checks, we have stickers that you can actually put by your radio. It'll tell you how to use it, you know, and what to do. And it's important to have those little reminders around, because when an emergency happens, usually you tend to forget things, you know. So, yeah, my recommendation, get your vessel examined and ask the examiner for one of those stickers.
Are there things that maybe people should practice? You know, you don't always maybe use this piece of equipment except in an emergency. Are there certain things like that that you should, you know, like test your life jackets or, you know, test certain things?
You should go around, inspect your life jackets, make sure the, you know, the clips or the metal fastenings aren't broken or rusted, that the material isn't torn or the seams aren't torn, that there's no rot, that everything works. You know, you want to put on your life jacket and make sure it fits and it's adjusted properly. If you have younger kids in the boat, you want to make sure they have their life jackets on and that it's fitted, you know, fitted correctly. You want to test your marine radio every once in a while, and you don't have to use channel. You don't want to use channel 16 for that. I think there are channels set aside. It escapes me now what the exact channel is, but you can test your marine radio before you get underway. You want to listen to the weather. If you have a marine radio, there's weather stations on there, you know, and you can listen to the weather. You want to file a float plan. And so what a float plan is it is just simply, if you were to go out and not come back, who's going to know you're missing, right? So you want to tell somebody where you're going, when you're going to be back, and if you're not back by a certain time, to start, you know, taking some action.
And is that something you just file with a friend, or can you contact the Coast Guard or
You can
something?
File that with a friend. On the Coast Guard app, you can actually enter information, where you're going, your boat, your number, how many people are on board, and then it just sits in a data bank. And if something does happen to you and somebody says, hey, I haven't seen this person, the Coast Guard will be able to log, you know, to go in and see exactly what you were doing. It's incredibly useful.
That does sound like a very useful site.
It is.
Or app.
It's a good app, and I highly recommend that to everybody.
Okay. Those were my main questions. Are there other things that you wanted to bring up?
Let's see. So, yeah, if you have questions, you know, please visit one of the stands at the local businesses that we have set up. Again, if you're interested in safe boating classes, please contact Tonga Substance Screening at 907-247-1431. Or you can email Renee Schofield at R-E-N-E-E at tss-safety.com. If you want to join the auxiliary, we're always looking for membership. And I'll tell you, it's a very satisfying. It's not easy being an auxiliarist, but it's a very satisfying form of volunteerism. And if you are interested in joining the auxiliary, please contact 1-877-875-6296, or you can go on the web at http://join.cgaux.org. And our next meeting is going to be June 12th.
And if you give me that info, we will post it with this interview on the website so people can have those links.
Okay.
And are there – what does it take, I guess, to be part of the Coast Guard Auxiliary? I mean, do you have to be a boater? I've heard that there are tasks needed that you don't necessarily have to have boating skills.
You absolutely do not need to be a boater. If you are a boater, that's great. If not, it's an organization. So think of any business or organization, on all the positions involved with running that organization. That's what the Coast Guard Auxiliary is. And the great thing about the auxiliary is if you can do as much or as little as you want. You know, it's all volunteer. As much as you can allow to give is what I always say. And you know, you got to be a United States citizen. You have to go through a background check. I mean, because you're being allowed access to military installations, so you need to go through that background check. You're given an ID. But yeah, it's really interesting. We're always looking for people who want to take leadership roles. So it's, you know, what I say, I've talked to some young people about the auxiliary, and this is something you could actually put on your resume if you wanted to. You know, it's something that builds up skill sets. There's lots of training. You're right, Maria. You don't need to know anything about boating, but the auxiliary will teach you. You know, and it's a place to, it's a good place to start and to get involved in something that might be interesting to a lot of people.
Okay, very good. Anything else you wanted to add?
Hey, we're going to be in the 4th of July parade, so take a look for us. We've got a couple guys on, you know, they go around and they do, three of the guys in the auxiliary go around and do vessel safety checks. They take their motorcycles, so I think that's pretty cool, and they're going to be in the parade, I hope.
Okay.
This 4th of July.
All right, great. We will see you then. And again, we'll get information about the upcoming classes and the links that you mentioned on our website. Thank you very much, Anthony Carvelis, who is with the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary.